In January 2011, when Mark Shriver eulogized his father, Robert Sergeant Shriver, he knew he had been blessed to be the son of a great man. He had done so much with his life. He had served in the Navy in World War II, been married to Eunice Kennedy Shriver for 56 years, and raised five children. With his brother-in-law, President John F. Kennedy, he started the Peace Corps. He was the architect for President Johnson's War on Poverty and instrumental in forging race relations in this country. He served as ambassador to France. In 1972, he was the vice presidential candidate on George McGovern's ticket for the presidency. In 1976, he ran for president, but despite his schedule every day, he found time for his family and his faith. From presidents to counter clerks after his death, everyone told Mark that his father was the epitome of a good man. His new book, A Good Man, Rediscovering My Father, Sergeant Shriver, Mark Shriver, tells a story and his quest to find the essence of his father's commitment to family and service. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Mark Shriver to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Give us a sense of over the past year and a half, which is always tough when losing a parent, of that quest of what you wanted to find out, of what you didn't know about a very public man.
Well, I think it's you describe it perfectly. It was a quest. I heard from so many folks, as you said, that Dad was a good man, and it was, you know, almost irritating at the beginning. I didn't quite know what to make of it. But as I started to really reflect on it, I realized that there was a difference between being a great man or a great woman and being a good person. And a lot of great people are not the same when the camera lights are off or when they're interacting with people that can't help their career or can't make them money or can't help them politically, whatever their field of service is. But Dad was consistent, and he treated everyone the same. And I realized that as I was struggling with my wife, Jeannie, to raise our three kids and balance that commitment to our children and aging parents and in-laws and our commitment to relationship with God, our relationship at work, and trying to make a difference with our friends, that I needed to go back and look at my father and to better understand who he was and how he did it. And the book, A Good Man, I hope has some insights in there that have not only helped me in the last year and a half, but I hope will help other men and other women try to be better human beings, try to actually ultimately be a good person. That's what the book is about.
It seems as though if there is a theme throughout the book and throughout his life, was the importance of family.
No question about it. You know, he married the woman of his dreams for 56 years after a seven-year relationship or a courtship. And he raised, with my mom, five kids, all of whom loved both of them. It was reinforced to me when my dad dropped out of the presidential race in 1976, and I loved having the Peace Corps around, and I talked a little bit about this in the book. They were great athletic guys that were willing to give their lives for your dad and play catch with a little kid was almost ideal. It couldn't get any better. But when we got on the airplane after he dropped out, the door closed, the Peace Corps was gone, and when we landed, we picked up our own bags, we hailed a cab and went to our hotel. When it's over in politics, it is over. And what I learned then and what Dad reinforced throughout life was the importance of family, that you had your relationship with God was the ultimate thing, and then your relationship with your family and your friends was what sustained you in life, and that's what sustained him. It was going to Mass every day, asking for help, asking for direction from the Spirit, from God, and then working with whoever he encountered that day, whether it was a big shot, a president of the United States, or a cardinal, or the waitress at his restaurant. He treated everyone the same. And that's also a lesson I learned, is that Dad had this unique ability to treat everyone the same with great energy and with great joy. But it didn't matter your position in life or whether you could help his career.
One of the things I found very, very interesting and very touching in the book was the number of little notes that he would write to you.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. The man was a voracious reader and writer, and he would slip a note under my door in high school almost every day about a newspaper article. Maybe it was a box score from the Baltimore Orioles, and he loved the pitching line of Jim Palmer, or maybe it was about an article he had read in the Washington Post, or a book by Elie Wiesel, or something he had seen in America magazine. He read everything, and he would slip them under the door, and some of them were just funny and joyful notes. Some of them were reflection on the dinner conversation the night before, or maybe a month before. Some of it may have been an update on my what my sibs were doing. And he did that after when I was in college, and then after I graduated and was married. And when I went back and read some of those notes, just to feel his presence and also feel some of the insights he was giving me at this stage of my life, meant something different than when I got the notes. And I tried to put some of those notes in the book and what I gleaned from them. The most powerful one I got was, which I had gotten when I graduated from high school and forgotten about. I put it in a scrapbook and stumbled upon it a couple of months into writing the book. It was about not, you know, work hard and your dreams will come true. America's the land of opportunity. It was about the fact that my mom and dad loved me, that my siblings loved me, and that God loved me, and that that was the most important thing in the world. And I think for an 18-year-old kid, and even a 48-year-old man, to know that your parents love you and to know that you have that foundation of support and love from your family and your friends and your and God is really a powerful thing. So I hope some folks start writing their kids handwritten notes. I've tried it myself. Instead of sending texts and emails, you know, put something in writing and they can read it, you know, 30 years later. It's a really powerful thing.
One of the things in the book that I found interesting, because as we said, it was a quest for you, and one of the questions that you were looking to answer was, how did this man have so much joy in his life? And that's something that many of us don't. We get bogged down in the mundane and the day-to-day minutiae of our lives, but to recognize that joy and to see it and then try to realize where it comes from.
It's yes, absolutely. He was an incredibly joyful guy. He did all these great things on the national or international stage. You might think he's a policy wonk, devoid of joy, but he was. You know, he loved it when I would come home with my college friends or after graduating from college, have a vodka tonic with everyone. He'd laugh. He'd smoke a cigar. He'd tell stories. He had this unique ability to have this incredible amount of energy, which got him going every day and got him excited about every day, but still slowed down and to appreciate the moment and to do it joyfully. You know, a lot of people said, oh, he's a wonderful guy. And it really was rooted, I think, in his belief in his relationship with God, that he realized that every day and every moment was a gift. And that whether he was out in nature, whether he was on the ocean, whether he was interacting with a waitress or a president, it was all a gift. And I'm hoping that people, myself included, you know, can slow down and appreciate that. You know, I'm so taken with my BlackBerry and making sure that every moment is scheduled and that I reply to every email as fast as possible. And when I look at my dad's life, he never had a BlackBerry, never, you know, sent an email. He wrote handwritten notes, and he still accomplished it much more than I ever will dream of accomplishing. But he never used the technology that, you know, consumes us or was fraught with decisions and scheduling. He enjoyed the moment, and it's a unique ability and one I'm trying to emulate but struggling with, as I know so many of my friends and colleagues are.
You also write about your father's Alzheimer's and dealing with the last chapters of his life, which were very tough for you and for your siblings as well.
Alzheimer's is a brutal disease. It's decimating tens of thousands of families across this country. Financially as well as emotionally, and as a country, we don't spend enough money on research. We haven't made a strong enough commitment to finding a cure for it. And I, like so many other people, struggled with it. I was in charge of my dad's medical and financial issues. I had incredible support from my siblings, from my wife Jeannie and our kids. So it was a team effort. And there were moments when it totally frustrated my dad had this quirk that he would blow his nose a lot, and you know, it agitated me at times. And I remember sitting in church one day and thinking, oh my God, he's blowing his nose, I'm gonna get a cold and my kids are gonna get it and it's gonna be, you know, screw me up for a month. And you know, I just didn't want to be near him or touch him. And he put his hand on my knee, and about 3 minutes later leaned over and said, I love you, to me. And it just reinforced that really here was a guy who was at that point probably 91, 92, who was in the midst of Alzheimer's and dying, that what at his core was love. It was unconditional love and support. And he was still fathering me and showing me how to be a good man. And, you know, I was worried about catching a cold. And ultimately, you know, if I get a cold, it ruins a week or something. But what was more important was the message of love and unconditional love that he gave me. You know, I found a couple moments like that over the course of his Alzheimer's. It's tough, though, really tough. But he was still doing the best he could, as he said, with what God had given him.
Is it therapeutic in some way of writing a book like this, of further eulogizing your father while you are actively grieving?
I think so. I think so. I think that it's been helpful for me to put into writing some of the lessons I've learned and reflecting on some of the notes he sent me and the speeches he made. And it's given me insights, and that's why I wrote the book, A Good Man. I'm hoping that the insights in the book are helpful to others as well, and as they deal with aging parents and children and friends and jobs and commitment to trying to help their community or their state or the country or even the world. So many young people now want to help change the world, and I know they're balancing employment issues and dealing with their parents. So I'm hopeful that this little book will make you laugh and make you think about how you interact with your friends and your family and your colleagues a little differently. It's helping me. It's hard. I mean, my father was a good man, and it's hard to do. You know, when the camera lights are off and nobody's paying attention, it's hard to be good, and he did it. So I'm hoping he's a role model, as he is for me. He might be a role model and friend for others. There's a guy that helped me in the editing process and writing process, and he got engaged about 2 months before we wrapped up the project. And I said to him, "Why did you get engaged?" And he said, "You know, I've gotten to know your father, and he's become my friend. And I just felt like he was asking me to make a commitment to love and to marriage for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that maybe my dad can make some friends after he's dead, and that there's some people out there that can get a new friend through the book."
The name of the book is A Good Man, Rediscovering My Father, Sergeant Shriver. It is published by Henry Holt & Company. Mark Shriver, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much, and best of luck with this project.
Thanks a million. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Again, A Good Man is published by Henry Holt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.